When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome to Sky Sports Fantasy Football Game Week 32 Preview. As ever, I'm joined by my mate Niall, who is absolutely flying. Niall, how's it going?
Yes, a real change in fortune since the last time we spoke, Luke. So I think 2 weeks is a long time in fantasy football, as you'll know. And I think I've gone from somewhere between kind of around 1,200 and 1,400 to 300, and as I check my live team, 350th. In the space of 2 weeks, which is ridiculous. And not going to lie, there's been some good fortune involved in it, but it does just show in this game that you can roll the dice. As long as you're not being crazy, the returns can happen. And again, I'm going to caveat it with, you need to have some luck as well. And I have been quite lucky. But we can go into what's happened in that period in a bit. But no, I think it's been an interesting couple of weeks in Sky. Obviously, I'm going to say that, but I think what I've noticed is the template has really been smashed open. I mean, looking at people's teams now, I think there's a lot of variation in who everyone has, which I think is a good thing and will actually set up the last, you know, 8 or 9 weeks of the season in the best way possible for excitement. So I think there's still a lot to play for, and it just shows that even if you are further down the rankings, there is a way back. You can claw yourself back into it. But you're going to have to take risk, and maybe we're probably two quite interesting case studies, right? Because we've both taken gambles. Your gambles have probably not paid off, and mine have paid off, and it's as simple as that.
Yeah, exactly that. Really, wasn't happy sitting where we were, and if we'd have carried on playing the way, I'm still convinced I would have been. In the end, I've ended up around well because my gambles have actually done well, but my main gamble, which was to go Son over Kane, has not been good. Basically, Son's been fine. He's been getting points nearly every week, but Kane's obviously been hitting, you know, man of the match and braces most of the time, and he's people's armbands. So all the points are making up elsewhere in my team, which have been good transfers. Like, I think we were just talking just before we went live, and obviously, I want to ask you which ones you've made because you've absolutely flown. But I've bought in Saka. You know, you talked about the template being decimated over the last few weeks. I did that quite early. So he's been really good for me. It's been fantastic. You know, in previous seasons, Saka's always looked like he could be a Sky option, but he's never quite made it, I thought. You know, he's always on the brink of maybe just being rotated and being one of these 2-2-2 midfielders because he doesn't really have anything else. If he doesn't get a goal or an assist, he doesn't usually pick up points. And that's still somewhat the case, but I think he's so influential for Arsenal right now that he often finds a way to pick up either tackles or shots or something. He's just so heavily involved in games that he's elevated his game at the moment. So he's definitely one to watch out for next season as well. Obviously, he's at that age where you think he's only going to get better and better. I had Thiago Silva, had Rudiger, went for the double Chelsea. So not great in the end because they only kept one clean sheet and then Rudiger ended up getting benched one of them. Silva ended up getting benched one of them. So Chelsea kind of upset me a bit. But when they did play, they got the 10-pointers as usual. I've had Trent Alexander-Arnold, Laporte, everything. But like you say, the template, I think quite a few people jumped off Cancelo because of the issue with him being sick and him being out and just the way the fixtures felt, it kind of made sense. And he's obviously a very highly owned player. You've had Bowen, you've had Gallagher. I jumped off of both these guys. I jumped off of all of them quite early a couple of weeks ago. And that's all worked out. Everyone that I've bought in has done a lot better. It's just really been this Kane something that's held me back from progressing, really. Which is frustrating, but I think if that had gone the other way, if Son had absolutely fired and Kane didn't, then I would have, you know, absolutely flown up the ranks. So I have no regrets in doing so. And like I say, if I was in the top 100, I would have gone Kane all day because he's always the better Sky pick. But anyway, enough about me. So yeah, talk through sort of some of your main moves that have made you. I know one of them, and it's been absolutely godly. I think I really wanted to get him in FPL, and I couldn't afford him. And he's just, I think he's scored in every game since, and it's been that main man for Chelsea up front, hasn't it? So the team that have been responsible for affecting our seasons very badly at the beginning, he switched to the attack, and it's done you well.
Absolutely. So I think I probably can go back to the end of February when this whole like chain of events kicked in. So I actually captained Jose Sa, brought him in, captained him against West Ham in the game that they actually lost 1-0. But, you know, instead of everyone was on bone that day. So I was thinking at this point, like, I'm going to try and be a little bit more aggressive with the captaincies. I then brought in Tielemans for that Burnley game. He did dreadfully, and I thought, and obviously Pope got that, you know, pretty dubious man of the match award. And I'm thinking at this point, well, you know, it actually just encouraged me to double down even more. Mm-hmm. So when I saw the fixtures coming round, the two potential Chelsea captaincies, as soon as I saw that in the first game Rudiger was on the bench, now I was considering this move anyway, but with the rumours around Cancelo being ill and maybe not making it for the Monday, and with the two, you know, very obvious Chelsea captaincies to come, with Rudiger being benched, I just didn't think there was an obvious standout option. And so the question marks around Cancelo, just thought, look, I'll transfer Cancelo out, bring in a Chelsea player for two games, captain them both games, and then I'll bring Cancelo back in. If he starts and if he doesn't, then great, because everyone else is going to have to make a transfer to bring someone else in. Mm. He ended up starting, which was fine, and I held my nerve. I did bring him back in. But in the meantime, I brought in Havertz. So while everyone else, I think, probably went on Rudiger and went on Thiago Silva and ended up missing one of those two games, Havertz played both, and I think between the two captaincies got 60 points. So it's crazy. So it just shows that I leapt up. Yeah, so I think I was 984th coming into last week, so before Thursday night. And after bringing in Havertz, captain twice, I shot up. And it wasn't just Havertz, so I also brought in Saka. I've got Ramsey and Coutinho from Villa. I've got double Liverpool defence, double Wolves defence, who've done really well over the last kind of couple of weeks. Mm. So I think basically all I've done is I've just ploughed all my transfers that I'd saved up into teams that had extra games, and I've been quite fortunate in the way that they've paid off. And then plus the Havertz captaincies, taking me up to the highest position I've been all season, and hopefully the lowest I'll be between now and the end.
I've no doubt. You always find a way to make it up there. So I think it's incredible. I really love that that can happen, you know, still can happen. Because I think in the community, people have been, there's quite vocal, some other pods I've listened to, and just people in general, like saying, I'm doing all these good moves, but of course other people are doing them and I'm not really moving anywhere in rank. And that's happened for me and for a lot of other people. And yeah, it's still possible. Obviously, you need to find those right people. I think Havertz was a really good pick for that, for these, the run at the end of the day. He's a midfielder playing up front. So, and he is very good when he gets in the flow. We know that last season, I think from once he came in from December, he was highest of all players for expected goal involvement from the back end. So we know it was always there. It was just the Lukaku signing kind of pushed him back a bit, and he had COVID and other issues where he didn't start the season quite as well. But he's flying now. And it's just fantastic to see you can get that many points in a short window that no one else has, and that's what makes you fly up the rank. And I think there's sort of been, you know, a lot of these players are quite well owned, but I think in general, I think Saka, Coutinho, who I haven't had, who's done very well, Kane as captain, and then obviously if you've got that Havertz, who I don't think will be popular, but that was like an extra one for you. I think if you've got sort of two or three of those guys, then obviously you've probably done very, very well. Mainly I'd say Coutinho, you know, I think most people got Kane anyway, so Coutinho is that extra one, and Saka maybe. If you've got sort of one or two of those extras on top, or any of these Spurs guys, then you've probably done pretty well. And there's more opportunities to come. Obviously, we've got the fixtures recently as well for the April games coming up. And like you say, the template just seems a lot different. I mean, I've got a different midfield than I had completely. Yeah, I seem to be using a lot of my transfers there because Salah's almost a permanent fixture up front, right? Then you've got one of the Spurs guys up front, and then other people haven't got a third striker, or like me and you had Broha. So the transfers seem to have been in midfield at the moment. I think defence is a little bit in defence maybe. And it's always risky when it comes to the midfield, isn't it? We don't particularly like them in Sky most of the time, but some of them have proven that they can do well, and I'm sure there's more opportunities to come as well.
I think you're right, and I think if you look at the last few weeks, some of the best players in the game have been midfielders. We've talked about Ramsey, Saka's done well, Coutinho's done well. I know that Kulusevski, a number of people have had him, he's done well. I'm probably missing some others too. Havertz, Jesus, how could I forget him? So... Yeah, and there's others too. I mean, De Bruyne had a big call recently as well.
De Bruyne's been great. Yeah, he's been really good.
I think what we're starting to see is, and this is the formula that I took, and we talked about this on the pod, you know, a few weeks back. I'm not going to gamble against Cancelo. I'm not going to gamble against Salah in prime games. You know, I'm not going to try not to gamble against Kane. Although I do agree that Son's probably the best fodder if you're going to gamble against Kane. That I'm not going to take decisions that are outrageous, but and given the opportunity when, you know, I think the highest captain probably last week was on the days that Havertz hauled were probably like Rafinha and Ward-Prowse. Mm. Days like that, I think, are you know, where you can start to
Yeah.
look at rolling the dice a bit.
And that's what we said on our last pod and the pod before as well, right? And these are the ones to pick, and you just need that extra bit of luck that they actually fire, don't you? So yeah, it's great that that's happened. I'm actually just briefly, while I remember, going to mention another name in midfield that I don't think anyone's talking about, who could potentially be an option. He's starting again tonight, and he plays for Liverpool up front, and he's a midfielder. I don't know if you noticed, but Diaz is only 9 million, and he's in midfield. It feels very Havertz-y to me. You know, like that midfielder is essentially a striker, and obviously quite explosive. Now, I think there's a little bit of issue around his, you know, starting berth when everyone's completely fully fit. I mean, does he just completely replace Jota? Because Jota had an injury, let's not forget. But he's been sensational, hasn't he? He's been so good. And I think all the other three are actually strikers in the game. Even Jota's 9.4 million striker, whereas Diaz is a 9 million midfielder. I feel like the fixtures haven't really lent themselves to necessarily going there, but Liverpool have got a double game week in FPL terms coming up soon. I think he's another name in midfield that people could look at. That's quite a way to people are sort of searching for ways to move up the field. I think Diaz is cheeky. I mean, he looks like he's man of the match every time he takes to the pitch, to be honest. He's so electric.
Yeah, he's mercurial, isn't he? And I think if you're looking at Liverpool assets, obviously they've got the game. You know, we're actually recording this when the football's going on tonight on Wednesday night. But they've not got a game until early April now. But they do play, I think, on the 10th of April, which is the Sunday against City. I think that could be subject to change depending on the Champions League draw. But if that goes ahead on the Sunday, you could bring them in then. Then that's a great opportunity to load up on them.
The
Again, and
hope.
then they've got that midweek game the week after. So yeah, I think he's a good option. And I think maybe I would captain him over Salah, but probably not. But I
No,
think
he
there
just
are
goes alongside him, I think. I think
going to
it's.
say they could still score high.
Yeah, I mean, people have got Trent in their team, or maybe they don't. You know, it's okay to have a double, I think, from the best teams, right? Like City, Chelsea, and Liverpool. I don't think that's necessarily a problem. And he's not expensive enough where you think, well, you're losing out another captain. You know, 9 million midfielder, he's not much more expensive than the likes of Sa. I mean, Rodri's like 8.7, for example. It's barely anything on top of him. They actually play that Saturday, don't they? Home to Watford is their next game on the 2nd of April. And we get to see the lineups. So that's another interesting entry point. But we won't get, obviously, anyone else. You can't switch anyone else out for him because it's the first game. But. People could just.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen during the international break, right? I mean,
This is true, this is true.
there's always an injury or two. But yeah, I think he's right up there in terms of options. And I know that you've got a number of others that you've had a look at, and you've been using the new tools on the Scout website to delve into the data a bit. So we can talk about that a bit later.
Yeah, we'll pick up on that a little bit later. In terms of who you're looking to get in then for these fixtures, obviously we have got the fixtures now for quite a way, and there's a few iffy, shall I say, individual days. And it's going to depend on who's in your team already, I think. But there's some obvious teams there in terms of they have multiple of these. I think Everton's one of them, which happens in fact tomorrow, Thursday the 17th. We've got Everton versus Newcastle, which is a good place to start us off as a solo match day. Now I don't have any of those players in my team, and I don't actually plan to get any of them either. Despite Newcastle have actually been pretty damn good of late, so you know maybe they could be an option. But they also have other individual days coming up, don't they? Certainly Everton. They've got Wednesday the 6th of April as well. In fact, let me bring it up on the screen while I'm talking to you. It's easier. So we've got game week 31 in Sky there, Everton versus Newcastle. 32 is the blank week where barely any teams play. And then we've got game week 34 where Everton have got this double game again. They play away to West Ham and then they play away to Burnley. So if you haven't got a Burnley asset, Everton then can cover you for the two games, so two games and two as captain, so effectively four, you know, occasions where you'd have someone playing. It makes sense to probably get one, but they're so bad. They're so bad and they don't have any options. So what do you think? What's your thinking? Because I'm sure a lot of people will be in that same situation. On that note as
Yeah.
well, sorry, just to touch, game week 35, Newcastle play Wolves. So if you haven't got a Wolves player, maybe you could do the same with Newcastle and then they also have the four. So I think a Newcastle or an Everton player, depending on whether you've got a Wolves or a Burnley player, does kind of make sense. So what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, so I think clearly those who don't have a Wolves player, you're going to be looking at a Newcastle asset, right? Because that's going to cover you off for the Thursday game tomorrow, and it'll cover you off for that Friday night game in a couple of weeks. But I think most people probably have a Wolves player. I know Kilman's quite highly owned.
Yeah.
Jose Sarr is relatively highly owned. So I think clearly, Everton have a number of games, and you could have probably picked two teams that don't really appeal. I mean, I don't think particularly Everton, like defensively, they're awful. You just discount their whole defence. I think the highest scoring defender's got something like 60 points all season, which is just ridiculous. And then even if you look at the other players they've got, I mean, Richarlison, you'd think, is got the highest ceiling. I think he's scored 65 points this season, which is absolutely brutal. And he's played the majority of games, so there's no excuse.
That's
And
like
then,
7 games for Laporte. That is.
yeah,
That's the
it's,
equivalent of pretty much. It's shockingly bad.
it is that bad. So I think for me that the fortunate position I'm in is I've got Jose Sa in goal, which he's obviously done well, but I need to keep him for that Friday night game
Yeah,
where
so
they
then
play
you can't
again.
get the Pope in, which is the obvious pick for Burnley, right? So it's a tricky.
Yeah.
I've got the same situation there, which
So
is.
Pope's the obvious choice for Burnley. But I think what I would do, honestly, like in the spirit of let's try and play for the players with the highest ceilings, if I am going to bring in an Everton player, like, and I know there's been doubts about him with being injury and COVID and appearing in front of the court this week, but if Calvert-Lewin was to hypothetically start tomorrow night, I think I would bring him in.
Really?
And
Okay.
that sounds crazy, but the thing is, even if they do very little and just pick up 2 points and a captain him twice, I wouldn't say it justifies the transfer, but it's enough points that you don't feel as if you've completely wasted one.
Yeah,
So I think that's where I would go.
you just
If
pick
he
up points
doesn't
through
start,
attrition, right? That's pretty
pretty
much.
much. If he doesn't start tomorrow, I'm thinking about this a little bit. If he doesn't start tomorrow, but there's a chance that he's back at some point, the problem I've got is that I've already taken Broja out, so I would need to take a player that I genuinely want from my team, so probably a Liverpool or a Man City asset out, and I don't fancy doing that before they play against Watford and Burnley respectively. But if you look with Everton, so I don't actually even mind skipping tomorrow. I think the game's dismal, but you're probably going to need an Everton player at some point for that Wednesday game, and they've got a couple of other games stacked in there. So I think I might even hold off now and bring in a Everton player on the 3rd of April when you get a three for none on Liverpool and Man City. And that would include the captaincy against Burnley. So there's the risk element's not there because at the moment I would have to take out probably Cancelo or Trent. And they're playing against Burnley and Watford. Trent could score more points in that game against Watford than DCL might score across the whole of the four games or any of the Everton players. But if you are in a situation where a lot of people are, where they've got maybe a Ward-Prowse or Broja, I think from Everton's point of view, maybe look at Anthony Gordon. I can't believe I'm even recommending this guy, but yeah, he's got a couple of decent enough goals at home this season. He's cheap enough. He's not massively exciting, but if you're looking to do, a sideways move, maybe opens up some budget, he's there. And then on the Newcastle side, I think probably Saint-Maximin is the most explosive, high ceilings, given his man of the match appeal.
To be
And
honest, he's the only
then
one I would get from Newcastle, I think, if I was going to get it. I see what you're saying, and I usually am on the side of like if you've got sort of, just amount of games and you've got captains, even if they blank, you're generally going to benefit from the transfer. Because if we say a transfer is like roughly 15 points, you're already halfway there just for them appearing. But I just think in the case of Everton, I just think it really does depend on who you're taking out. And like you said, there's a few names there like Broja and Ward-Prowse and stuff, maybe not the best for the upcoming games. I can understand that. But I think if you're doing it just to cover it and you're taking out, a player like Laporte or a Man City player or something like that, who in one game can get you 10 points straight away, is just an absolute no for me. And I've got limited transfers, so my plan really is to get a Burnley player, maybe Weghorst for Broja again, who did me well, to be fair. I'm not in this first few games at
everyone.
least. And that covers off that game, so I would just avoid, like you say, the game Everton Newcastle not particularly appealing, and then just have him later on, and then later down the line also do Sa to Pope. That's what I'm thinking of doing personally. But I don't think you have to cover Everton by any means. I think you can just leave it. I just don't think any of their assets are good enough. I think if I had to pick one, Calvert-Lewin is obviously the ceiling player, but we just don't know what's going on with him. And it would be Gordon. I just don't see anyone else apart from Gordon. He's got the set pieces. He's been playing well. He's only a kid. He's actually in 4% of the top 1K. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's getting you 2 and 1 point as most week. If you look through his history, is basically a series of twos and ones continuously, and then he's got two massive hauls in there, a 17 pointer versus Brighton and a 19 pointer versus Leeds. So he can get them, but that applies to any player in the game can get something like that on a random day. So it's more just that the minimum amount I'd want to invest in Everton, if you know what I mean. And we always say if you're going to use your punts, it's usually in midfield. However, this season it's kind of been more, you know, if you're going to punt, it's probably more in your striker position or as your third striker, I think. And that's why
I
Calvert-Lewin
think
probably fits a little bit better.
possibly the only concern I'd flag up about Gordon is Lampard tends to play the 4-3-3 or 3-4-3. And so if you're assuming that Richarlison is going to start, you've got Gray back. If DCL comes back in, that only leaves, you know, three places for four players if you include Gordon as well.
Yeah, I think he's been
So
playing well enough. It's just Gray's coming back. Yeah, there's enough of a concern there to think that he might miss the odd one. You're right, and when he's a seems a pretty poor option as it is, that's why I'm just not going to go there. I just think if I would, it would probably be him. But yeah, for Newcastle, St Maximin does still appeal for me. He's obviously been out for a little while, so he slips out of your mind a little bit. But let's not forget, he's actually been pretty damn good all season as a pick, to be honest. You know, and he is obviously absolutely electric. He just, you know, man of the match just by taking to the pitch in most games. Game like that versus Everton, if he plays, I don't have any doubt that he's going to be man of the match. Yeah, he's done well. He's actually pretty high in the point scoring considering the minimum amount of games he had. That's the other thing with him though. You're just never really that confident in terms of if you were to bring him in a sustained period of playing. He just seems to pick up injuries a lot, doesn't he? So it's another slight concern. Anyway, I think we've done Everton Newcastle to death. Let's
And the bottom line is there aren't that many options. And the only other one I would have thought about was Chris Wood, but then I think
No.
he's had one shot on target in about the last 6 weeks, so probably not.
No, it just doesn't really appeal.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We can just briefly rush through game week 32 because it's obviously a very small week. I just wanted to add on this note. I've seen a few people on Twitter, maybe it's the FPL thinking of, you know, I've only got a few players this week. You know, it's going to be a bad week. Well, yeah, it could be, but I think nearly everyone else is probably in that same situation. I don't think you need to rush to bring players in. It's all about amount of games left at this period of time. It makes no difference. We haven't got any wild cards to fix it. There's no chips like in FPL or anything. So it's simply, you know, does my player have a quantity of games left? And you know, obviously, do I have coverage for the captains on the individual days? As long as you've got that, then I don't think there's any need to panic and go, oh, I've only got seven players playing this week. Let me get two Leicester in, for example. Just you don't need to worry about that at all. Quantity and obviously the quality of player is just far more important for me. So, Wolves and Leeds, I've got Rafinha and I've got Sarr, so I'm well covered for that week. That Friday night, I should say. So for me, I'm not even sure which one would be the better option. Do you have any preference there? I don't know if you, I think you probably have both as well, don't
Yeah, I do. I do. No, I think I'm probably on the fence. I'm not sure. What are you thinking?
Well, Sarr has actually just been really. I think he'll pick up saves in this game, which he always does. So he feels quite secure. And Leeds have been struggling for goals. The thing is, they had that obviously that last minute win against Norwich. They need to win, and Bamford looks like he's back as well. So will Wolves' heart be in it as much as Leeds? Maybe that's not a factor. But Wolves don't need to. We're getting towards the end of part of the season where Wolves don't really need to bother. Do you know what I mean? Whereas Leeds really do need to bother. So part of me just wants to go Rafinha because it's the more exciting pick. But I, in the very small amount of time we've seen under the new manager, he does seem to be. He was. I mean, he should have scored like what? Two goals, three assists in his last game, but outside that, he's looked a little bit out of sorts. So it's a hard one to gauge. I honestly don't know. I think I'm going to go Rafinha just because I feel like Leeds will probably score, and if Sarr gets bonus points, Rafinha's also got a chance of being involved in that goal or getting bonus points himself. I think just with shots or whatever the way he was involved. So slightly on Rafinha, but I don't think there's much in it.
That's fair enough. I think I probably, on balance, would go for Jose Sarr just because he's got the saves potential. And if they do keep a clean sheet, then he's going to get extra points.
Gonna get the nine, isn't he? Yeah.
I think that's where I would go. But I think if I was in your situation with Rafinha, it's a difficult one because I think the captaincies will be split. But I think Rafinha has got the highest ceiling versus a Kilman or, you know.
I think a lot of other people have got Kilman. So in my mind, I think most people will go for Rafinha on the basis that Wolves defenders don't usually always get passing bonus. And against Leeds, it's one of the most troubling ones in the league. So I think a lot of people will be on Rafinha. So I could use that to my advantage and therefore go with Saar to try and, you know, obviously go up on the crowd. But I think Rafinha is probably just the sensible play, to be honest. Saturday the 19th is Villa versus Arsenal. Tough game. Both these teams playing very well. It's a hard one to call, really. I've got Saka on my team. I wish I had Coutinho on my team, but I don't. I think some people have probably got Gabriel, maybe even a Lacazette floating around, or Ramsey. Is there any particular choice that stands out? I'll just be on Saka because I don't have any other options.
I've got Saka, Coutinho and Ramsey. So my whole midfield's playing in this game. I think I'm probably leaning towards Coutinho. I just think he's got that man of the match appeal. If Villa get a result and he looks like he plays all right, he's the first choice man of the match from them. I think we saw recently, like, the game against Leeds when he got that kind of scabby goal. I'm not saying he didn't play well, but Matty Cash looked like he had the game of his life. And Coutinho still got man of the match. So, yeah, I think
I'd probably...
I wouldn't rule out. I mean, again, you could say, like, anyone's got Ramsdale, Gabriel, Saka, Coutinho, Ramsey... All of them.
You just captain whoever you've got, don't you? I do agree with you, though. I think Coutinho is probably the best pick in this game, just because it's the home game. And like you say, he's a big game player, usually, Coutinho, isn't he? And it's a very tough game, but I feel like if he does anything at all, it's man of the match. I think him or Saka's fine, or any of those options. Sunday the 20th of March. I've got, obviously, Son. Most people have Kane. I think that's just an obvious one, isn't it? I think Leicester-Brentford's a decent game on paper for Leicester. But Brentford have been playing well recently, and Leicester, you never know what you're going to get. So I think you just go Kane, don't you? Simple as that.
Yeah, straightforward. Very straightforward, that one.
It is indeed. So let's just quickly rifle through some of these other games. Game week 33 is obviously a blank in sky. We don't have any fixtures at all. And then we've got this tricky game week 34, where we've got this extra game for Burnley and Everton on the end. I'm not going to talk about who you're going to captain on the Saturday because there's just too many games you just go through. In terms of what players you're looking to pick up or whatever, the tricky ones. Kane covers the Newcastle game on Sunday the 3rd, and we've got Monday the 4th, which is Palace and Arsenal. Most people have an Arsenal player now, so you're just going to want to have, you know, Ramsdale, Saka, whoever you want is probably going to be there. And Gallagher's there for still some people, isn't he? Which is, he seems to do well in the big games. Picked up man of the match against Man City again in slightly controversial circumstances. Yeah, and then we've got Wednesday the 6th of April, where this is where I'll probably look to bring Pope in. Workhorst in, or the week before. I can't remember where it is, the timing now. So I'll probably be on Workhorst then. I think most people will be on Pope, which is a scary thought, because any time you don't have Pope and it's a single match day and you need him to concede, he never does. He literally will get 40 points or something, so I'm going to be terrified.
We've both been burned by that, right?
Yeah. I think Pope is the sensible play here.
I think I will go Pope eventually. So I think with Sa, I'll keep Sa for that Friday night game that he's got, and then I'll probably shift him on to Pope for the game against Norwich, which is fine. Wolves games turn a little bit after that, and they've got... The great thing about Wolves is bringing them in. They've had, like, all their games have been stacked, like, early. So I think towards the end of the season, they'll probably have fewer games than other teams, such as Burnley. So it'll be a good time to make that move. It's just unfortunate the way the games lie. So hence why I think I'm probably going to get an Everton player that's going to cover that first match, which means I'll be hiding behind the sofa with Pope threatening another 14-point haul for captain for 95%.
It's already written, I'm telling you now. He's already getting that.
But it's, I mean, that's such is the game. That's the way things go sometimes. But I think, I don't know if you want to continue going through the fixtures, but I think something I wanted to address was, I've seen a lot of people on social media this week saying, transfers are not there to be used now. Like, opportunities are gone. If you've got lots of transfers left, you're going to find hard things to do with it because the fixtures haven't really wielded like that many single match days. But I couldn't disagree more. I think there are going to be a lot more that come out, and even without those kind of abundance of single match days, for example, loads of games like Burnley, Everton dotted around everywhere, I think if you look, there are a huge number of 3-for-1s that you can move on. You know, days where there aren't standout captaincy options that you can possibly roll the dice on. So I think if you're sitting with a lot of transfers left, it's not a disaster. Equally, if you're sitting with very few transfers left, I think you can look at the fixtures and think, oh, they're easy to cover. I agree with that. But if you are looking to make gains, I still think there's opportunities to do that. It's just that it's not as clear-cut possibly as it would normally be.
No, and I think towards the back end of the season, I've seen Ian Parrin, who's obviously very good at the fixtures, mentioned that he believes there could be a lot of game days to come in the later ends, where literally you've got teams playing every night that we've seen before. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday games, literally, which usually means single or even just a 2 games on one of those nights. So there is going to be a lot more opportunity for gains, because obviously every time you've got a captain involved, you've got a potentially or a 30-40 pointer there, haven't you? You know, any time there is a single match day where you haven't got a captain and someone else has, you've got the potential to get smashed by 20 to 30 points. You know, it doesn't often happen, but it can happen. So there's still plenty of gains, I think, to be had. And like you said, it's like we said right at the beginning, there's a few interesting new players that a lot of people won't be tempted to go for. So Diaz, your Havertz, stuff like that. That are obviously playing for top teams, you know, in the front three. So we shouldn't really just turn our nose up at them straight away and just assume, you know, they're not options, because I think some of them can be, and there'll be more to come in the weeks coming. I mean, there's some teams as well out there that we've just been waiting for, you know, like Leicester and stuff, where all season you just think, are they going to sort themselves out? Are they going to work out what formation they're going to play? You know, Vardy came back in, looked good straight away, and then got injured again. You know, there's teams like that where you think if they can just get that team sorted, you know, if Patson Daka is up front or whatever, and I'm not saying it is going to happen, but it could suddenly just click for a team like Leicester. They've got good players all over the pitch. You just don't understand why it's not happening, and they've obviously got the extra game. So maybe in a few weeks we're talking about Leicester because they've just suddenly turned it on and they've found a solution that works. So, yeah, keep your chin up. I think there's plenty of opportunities still to come.
Great. And Leicester have still got a number of games to be rearranged. At some point there's going to be an explosion of Leicester matches, and it might be that, and I heard another podcast talking about this week, you know, you want to have a couple of options from Leicester just because the rotation's significant. And so the last thing you want is to be out of transfers. You've gone for, I don't know, you've gone for Madison and he finds himself on the bench in a game that's, you know, right at the end of the season, you can't afford to pivot to bring anyone else in. So I think patience is still going to be important, and I'll be very surprised if, I've never heard before in this game, in all the years I've played it, of people getting to the end of the season complaining about having too many transfers left. That just doesn't
happen. No, it doesn't happen if you're engaged as much. If anything, it's completely the opposite. It's good that City and Liverpool are still a lot closer than they could have been. I mean, a few weeks ago, it was looking like Man City could run away with it. You know, and I think the Burnley game for Man City, if it goes ahead, are slightly risky for rotation because it's just before Champions League, but I think from then on, you know, they're going to be such important games if they want to win the league and the Champions League, that you're going to likely get a more nailed 11 for Liverpool and City, which wouldn't necessarily be the case if one of them was running away with it. So, yeah, that could be useful for saving swaps and maybe doubling down on some of these teams. Is there anything else you want to talk about at all, Noel?
I think that's probably it in terms of the fixtures to come. But I think you've had some players that you wanted to flag.
I think we've just ended up talking about them, to be honest. It was Diaz was the one who's doing really well in the expected goal involvement tables. He was quite high. Doherty was another one I wanted to throw out there. He's been popular in the FPL world. You know, considering he's a defender, he's in sort of the top 12 or 13 players overall for expected goal involvement in the last 10 games. And this is players who've started a minimum of 5, which I thought was pretty impressive. We all know what Doherty is capable of. Those of us who have been around long enough have seen what he was capable for with Wolves. And Spurs have got some of these extra games. I mean, the thing is, the time to bring him was probably tonight as we're doing the pod if you were going to do it. But it's interesting he's that high. Harvey Barnes is very high on it as well. We were just talking about Leicester. I think of all the options, he still just is the standout. I think he's just their best player at the moment, their best goal threat. And no matter what team they play, I feel like they're going to find a way for him to play. And your mate Havertz is right up there. So in terms of just, you know, some differentials in the attacking sense, I like Doherty, Barnes and Havertz, and yeah, I think they're all decent. And Diaz, I've just mentioned, yeah, all good options. Coutinho sat right up there. And the last one I wanted to mention actually on the list is Sancho, who's been doing a lot better in the last few weeks. I know Man United have been dreadful, but they have actually got an individual day coming up, haven't they?
Brentford, yep.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not advocating going out and buying him, but his stats are really good, and I think if you want to be different on that week, people will probably just flock to Ronaldo because it's default. And yes, he got a hat trick the other day, but Ronaldo has been very, very poor in multiple matches, you know, in and around that. So I think Sancho maybe could be an option as well. I did have the tackles up when there's just a player I wanted to point out, which was Chabaloa. I just think he's 7.5 million, I think it is, for Chelsea. We know he's not nailed, and I don't think you should go and buy him at all. But he's so high up on the tackles for the last 10 weeks as well, which is a bit strange for a, he's not, he's kind of a right-sided centre back, but he's still a centre back. It's quite strange for them to be high up on the tackles. He obviously gets the passes, and he's got a goal threat. This guy could, is potentially the best Sky asset ever to exist, you know, in a team like Chelsea. You know, he manages to score all the time as well. Just not nailed, is he? But he's one to watch out for the future, especially with the way Chelsea are going and their contract situations with Rudiger and Silva's obviously getting on. I think next season it will be tricky for them to price a player like that. You know, I don't know who they're going to be signing or whatnot. We've got to bear that in mind. But if Chabaloa, I don't think they can make him too much higher than that. I feel like he, at most, he would be sort of around where Rudiger is this season, at most 8.9. So I think very much he should be one we should be looking out for next season. Any thoughts
I think you're right. And actually, thinking even about this season, I think the Christensen's probably, you know, one of his competitors replaces. I think he's just gone off injured tonight. Shalabas played, he was one of the only defenders, I think, that played back-to-back games last week. I think he may get used more than you think.
Yeah,
So
could do,
I think
yeah.
he could be a good option. And look, there's plenty of other players to consider as well who possibly aren't at the moment. I mean, we've got Reece James, who has a huge ceiling in Sky, and in those weeks to come where Chelsea assets are going to be the most captained, he could be the best captain. So I think for me, there are players that you can begin to look to who are alternatives, and there's going to be a lot of opportunities between now and the end of the season to claw back. I would equally say, if you want to play with a straight bat and play as conservatively as possible, which is not a bad way of playing, I think it's a good way of playing. Clearly, also some of the best players in the game play that way,
Yeah.
that you're not going to be too uncomfortable with what you see with the fixtures either. So I think there's something for everyone in what we've seen.
Yeah, it's just nice to try and think, because all the pods I'm seeing, everyone's complaining that it's too template and it's too boring at the moment. But I just want to try and highlight a few that maybe will just, even if it's not this season, just something to look forward to. Mitchell's another one that was on this list, who's just credibly high for tackles. I did think he was going to do well at the beginning of the season at that price. Palace under Vieira have obviously improved massively. I just think next season he can't, probably not going to go up too much, and we're going to get, I think they should have got a lot more clean sheets than they got this season so far. He's in a team that does a lot of passing, and if his tackles stay high, which they seem to, I think he's going to be a good pick. And the very last one I wanted to mention is a defender that you mentioned to me just before. Again, it's probably one to jump on. It's Eric Dier, who, yes, Doherty's the far more exciting pick there, probably a little bit less nail, but he's not going to be getting passing bonus at all. And that's something that Dier has managed to do. In fact, if I bring up my screen share for the stats, I've sorted here by the last, so it's from game week 20 to 29, so it doesn't include the games that are playing tonight, of course, and that's 10 weeks in total, 20 to 29, and they've had to have a minimum of 5 games that they've played, and I've sorted it by distribution per 90 and successful passes, and this is all outfield players. So Laporte sat right at the top, 86 passes, been there all season. Stones, Rodri, Dunk, Thiago Silva, all the obvious names. You know, Cancelo, there's Chabaloa there, as we're talking about, right at the top. But as we can see, just sneaking in here, Eric Dier, 60 passes. Again, Spurs with the extra games, and if you want to be that more conservative guy and don't trust Doherty, then I think he is an option. It's just a shame that you probably needed to do it before this podcast went out. But he's still got some good games, and I actually quite like him as a cheeky pick because he's not that expensive.
So yeah, it's cheap, 7.9. I think he's had tier two passing bonus in 3 of the last 4 games. And the one that he didn't get it was Leeds, and he got 57, and nobody gets that many against Leeds.
No, yeah.
So I
He's at
think
0.2% of the top 1K and takes the occasional free kick.
and normally blazes them into Rose Ed, but
Let's not talk about that.
He does take them. Brilliant. Well, unless there was anything else for you to go through,
No.
I think
No, I think that's it. Hopefully you enjoyed that, guys. Just a few differentials. Sorry about last week. I had some other commitments, but we should be back next week. Yeah, good luck with your Sky team, and it's a goodbye for me.
And it's a goodbye from me.
Catch you guys later.